Good morning. It is wonderful to be worshiping together this morning. There's so much to celebrate about what God is doing here in this church and through this church. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Ethiopia, where I met some absolutely lovely people and where God taught me many exciting things. We served in a community called Kora, which is just on the outskirts of the capital city, but it is a small town that is literally right beside the city dump. On our first day, the ministry we were serving with was handing out food boxes to families they were sponsoring, and I noticed a lady who was holding a baby. I love babies, so I'm immediately drawn to babies. This young lady was holding a baby, and she had her hand tightly holding the hand of a little boy who was probably about 3 years old. But this three-year-old was not energetic like the three-year-olds who came to Vacation Bible Camp last week. Instead, this little boy was very still. He looked very tired, he was very quiet, and the expression on his face was very sad. I was somehow able to communicate to this lady, even though I didn't share a language with her, "Could I please hold your baby?" She gave me a small smile and handed over this beautiful baby girl. And for the next few minutes, we just sat beside each other in silence, because we didn't know each other's languages. But she looked so tired and so discouraged. Pretty soon, she trusted me to keep holding her baby while she talked to the social worker to find out if her family could be sponsored because they were needing some help. And it wasn't very long until my team leader came to me and said, "They are going to sponsor her, but they need to verify that she lives where she says she does. And since you've made a small connection with her, they want to know if you would like to go with them. But I need to give you a warning because she actually lives on the dump. Are you okay with that?" I nodded and jumped up, still with the baby in my arms, and quickly began to follow them. And we crossed this bridge over into the dump. My senses were overwhelmed by the sights and the smells, and immediately I was greeted with stares and pointing fingers and surprised faces. Because you see, it was not common for foreigners to set foot in the dump. We began winding our way through this area that literally created a mountain. I was trying to watch where I was stepping. The smells and the sights were overwhelming me, and I began to ask questions because the social worker, Solomon, was supposed to be able to translate for me a little bit. And so I asked, "Could you ask her what the baby's name is?" Which he did, and then he told me, and then he said, "Do you know what that name means?" I did not, and he looked at me sadly, and he said, "That name means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" And my heart broke for this tiny little baby. We eventually made our way to her home, which was a simple structure made from tarp over eucalyptus branches. And she began to share her heart and tell her story, which Solomon eventually translated to me, that she had been married and the two of them had moved away from everyone they knew. That she had given birth to the first child. She still didn't know anyone, but when she became pregnant with a second child, her husband was very angry because she could no longer help work and support the family. And so he left her in a place she did not know anyone, with no means to support two tiny children. She was discouraged, she was scared, and she was desperate. She was begging at night just to have enough to pay rent. Yes, to pay rent for this structure on the dump. So as she's pouring out this story, all I can do is stare at this beautiful baby's face. And I began to pray for her. I said, God, will you somehow show this baby that she is beautiful? Will you somehow show this baby that she is your creation and she is a reason to be celebrated? Will you show her that when life feels dark, you are right there with her? Will you show her that you have a plan for her, even when her very name is a reminder of the hardships that her family has experienced? I really wish I knew what happened in the next chapter of this family story. I know they were sponsored and they were able to get some food and some help, but I can only pray that God is showing this baby girl and her brother and her mother his love. But you know, in contrast, the very next day I was holding yet another baby, another beautiful baby girl who was wiggling and giggling, and I was struck by the contrast because that baby's girl, her name was Hallelujah. Have you noticed how much goes into naming a child? There are so many things to consider. Sometimes you put meaning to whatever you're experiencing at the time. Maybe you name a child after someone in your family or someone in history. Maybe you want your children to all begin with the same letter. Maybe you want your names to rhyme. There are several different things. You probably, when you're choosing out a name, you think ahead to high school graduation when they're going to walk across that stage and practice it. The first name, middle name, last name. You know you've tried it. There are so many things that we think through when we are naming someone. It's no small task. So speaking of names, if you were in the church building this past week, you probably saw people wearing these. They were wearing name tags to help us remember who is who and to get to know them even better. But often name tags start like what you see on the screen, which says, "Hello, my name is." We laughed this last week and on the youth mission trip of how many names happen to rhyme in our particular group of kids and youth. We had combinations like Hayden, Aiden, and Brayden, or Kosi and Josie, or Chloe and Zoe, or Scarlett and Charlotte. Sometimes it was a tongue twister, but the longer we spent with the kids, the more we remembered their names, even without the name tags. As Landon mentioned, a few weeks ago, our youth took a mission trip to Washington, D.C., and our primary serving opportunity was to lead vacation Bible camp for Greenbrier Baptist Church. And I want you to know you would be so proud of our youth. They led well, and they loved well. We served, but we also had the opportunity to visit several sites in Washington, D.C., and one of the places we visited on Tuesday was the Holocaust Museum, which was a very sobering experience for all of us. I was particularly moved by a certain picture that I found at the Holocaust Museum. If you look closely on their arms, there is a number. They were assigned a number when they were entering a concentration camp. And above this picture, there were video testimonies from the survivors playing. And I was moved when I heard a woman say, "They gave us a number, and they told us to forget we had ever had a name." That quote has continued to stick with me. Now, interestingly, that very night, after we experienced the Holocaust Museum, we were sharing a Bible story about how Jesus didn't just assign numbers to people, but he called them by name. As Josie and Josie read a few moments ago, there was a man named Zacchaeus It's probably a familiar story to you, but he was in the town of Jericho, and he was a tax collector. In fact, he was a chief tax collector, and he often took more than he was supposed to from people, and this did not earn him any friends. He was not popular in his community, as you can imagine. But one day he heard that there was a guy named Jesus coming to town. And like many of the others, he was very curious. And he wanted to see for himself what this man was all about. The Bible says that Zacchaeus was short and he couldn't see because of the crowd. And I have a hunch that it wasn't only due to his height. But I can imagine as the crowd was gathering around Jesus, these people who weren't real thrilled with Zacchaeus would kind of step in his way. So every time he would try to get in to where he could see, somebody would shove him out. He would stand on his tippy toes. He would lean over here and over here, but he just could not get a good view of this Jesus. You may recall what he did next. He looked ahead and thought, okay, Jesus is moving this way, and he spotted a sycamore tree. So he ran to that tree, and he climbed up in it, and he sat, and he waited. I can only imagine his surprise when Jesus not only passed his way, but he stopped under that very tree. And he looked up, and even though he was surrounded by people, Jesus saw Zacchaeus. And he called him by name. Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I want to spend time with you. I want to go to your home today. Did you catch that? Zacchaeus had not met Jesus, but Jesus called him by name. He didn't say, hey, that guy up in the tree, come on down. He didn't say, hey, you tax collector. But he said, Zacchaeus. Come down. He could have passed him by. He could have viewed him as just a pesky distraction. He could have dismissed him as not worth his time. But he saw what the people around him could not see. He saw a person who needed him. And I think if we're honest, there are times that you and I probably feel a little insignificant, and we wonder if anybody sees us. No matter how hard we try, there are times sometimes where it seems like people or obstacles get in our way. We wonder, do our thoughts and our ideas even matter? Does anybody notice? Are we making a difference at all? Maybe you have a time where you feel a little less than. Well, I want to tell you today, Jesus sees you. He calls you by name, and just like he said to Zacchaeus, he is offering an invitation for a personal relationship. And so our name tag could read, hello, my name is seen. There is joy that comes with being seen. The Bible says Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Well, as you can imagine, this caused quite a stir. People muttered and complained. Eugene Peterson translates verses 6 and 7 this way. Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumped. What business does he have getting cozy with this crook? But Jesus offers forgiveness. He knew the sins Zacchaeus had made. But he offers forgiveness for the sins and the mistakes we make. He sees so much deeper than our worst offense. And he laid his own life down to pay the price for it. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I'm so thankful Jesus does not expect us to be perfect. But he offers us forgiveness. He loves us so much that he went to the cross for us. Hello, my name is forgiven. You may or may not know that the name Zacchaeus comes from a Hebrew word that means pure or innocent. I'm guessing the people around him in his community did not use those adjectives to describe him in the beginning, but Jesus saw who Zacchaeus would become. Instead of seeing only his sins, he saw one whose sins he had forgiven. And you know, when we begin to understand the depth of love and forgiveness that Jesus offers us, we can't help but be changed. And this was true for Zacchaeus as well. At the beginning of the story, Zacchaeus felt rather entitled to charge whatever amount he wanted to and to keep the extra money he collected. But after his encounter with Jesus, he paid back and he gave his possessions to the poor. Hello, my name is changed. Jesus responded to the crowd's muttering that day that today salvation had come to Zacchaeus, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Jesus pursues us and he invites us to a loving relationship that's very personal. I'm sure Zacchaeus did not expect that day for Jesus to even acknowledge him, let alone change his entire life. You know, Jesus did not have to go to Zacchaeus' house that day. He could have spoken with him for a moment and then gone on. I'm guessing there were others in the crowd that day who would have been happy to welcome Jesus into their home that day and who would have offered him their absolute finest. But Jesus chose Zacchaeus. To the crowd, he was the unlikely choice. But to Jesus, he was exactly who Jesus wanted to spend time with. Perhaps sometimes we feel like an unlikely choice. We think surely Jesus would use someone else. Or he doesn't really want to spend time with me, does he? But yes, he chooses us. Hello, my name is Chosen. I was raised in a Christian home. And I am thankful that God placed me in a family with loving parents, a sister, and a brother, all of whom pointed me to Christ. I honestly don't remember a time when I was not being taught to love Jesus. We read about him. We sang about him. We sang to him. We talked about him. We prayed to him. I remember when I was 8 years old, I was attending a vacation Bible school, much like the one we just had here in our church this week. And my pastor talked about how Jesus was much more than someone we just read about, but that he had died on a cross for my sins and had forgiven me, and that he had risen again, and that he wanted to be my best friend. And that really connected in my heart. He wanted me to spend the rest of my life in a friendship and personal relationship with him. And so I prayed and I asked Jesus to be my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend. And that decision has impacted the entirety of the rest of my life. You see, like he did for Zacchaeus, Jesus saw me. He forgave me. He chose me, changed me, he pursued me, and he loved me. Hello, my name is Loved. I am a child of God. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Friends, you and Zacchaeus and I, we're part of that whoever. That includes us. He sees us. He calls us by name. He forgives us. He wants to spend time with us, to be our best friend. He changes us and he loves us. So this morning I ask you, what will your response be? What's on your name tag today? Hello, my name is... fill in the blank. In just a few moments, we're going to sing, and if you would like to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus, then Pastor Melissa will be in the hall. She would love to talk with you more and pray with you more. If you want to be a part of this church family, you can do that at this time as well. But will you pray with me? Dear God, I thank you that we are not just a number to you, but you have given each one of us a name. You have pursued us. You have seen us. You have chosen us. You have changed us. You have loved us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.